nobody relates to me and they think I'm the weird one, celebrate being that, because that just may be like the innovation that's needed for the evolution right now of these times.
Welcome to The Confident Healer. I'm your host, Sharmila Mali, and in this podcast, we have inspirational, uplifting, and soulful conversations about the ins and outs of having confidence as a healer and as a healer in business. Have you ever thought about where all these societal hierarchies come from? And by that I mean sexism, racism, classism. Hasn't it always been this way? Don't we as humans beat down on the weak in some way? Isn't that just a part of humanity as a whole? My next guest says no. We jump right into a conversation about finding the courage and confidence to educate people about some unknown and uncomfortable truths about US and world history. We dive into that and a whole lot more about self-trust, expanding into fear, and accepting that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Let's listen in to my convo with Shauna Bluestar, this week's Confident Healer. Welcome to The Confident Healer. This is 2021 that we're recording this. I'm your hostess, Sharmila Mali. And today I have a colleague and my sweet soul sister on the show. She's an international keynote speaker at universities, festivals, and community events. She has been on the radio and host for many online summits. She is dedicated to supporting seekers, change makers, and advocates who want to make a positive impact, to live their true calling and share their unique gifts, living their purpose and dreams. She works with her father to help lead a global movement for conscious change to speak out on the doctrine of discovery and domination code. She's the creator and facilitator for her groundbreaking programs, the Reverence Code Reset and Sacred Feminine Rising. So please welcome with a big warm hug, Shauna Bluestar. Yay, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Happy New Year. Yes, so good to be here with you. So we are recording this on the very first day of 2021, and I want to do a little bit of a reflection. What has 2020 taught you?
That's a good question. yeah, there's just been so many things. And I think it's interesting because I have talked about this throughout the year of 2020 with people. Is just really kind of seeing the lessons and the gifts within all of the chaos and conflict. And so much has just, you know, happened. I feel like there's been a lot for people to reflect on in terms of awakening. I see it almost like the shadow. I've been saying, you know, the shadow coming to the light in order for us to heal and to come into new understanding about our common wounding and how we can come together in a really good way. I feel like that's really a big lesson of 2020. Like there's just been so many, like almost like alarm bells popping up like all over the place. And in some ways, like it's a spiritual practice, I would say, to be able to look at that as how can we see the good in these things? Not that we want to say like we're happy about people getting sick or the virus or anything like that. And my heart goes out to people that have been suffering and so much. But in some ways, like there's a lot of really important change that has been necessary and needed for a long time. And so I feel like that's bringing us that much closer into alignment with like, okay, these are the possibilities of how we move away from some of these really negative patterns and shift into a higher consciousness. So I have been talking about that a lot this past year or last year, but I'm also happy for 2021 and all of the good changes that are coming. So I feel really happy about this.
Yeah.
Shift. There's a big shift happening.
Definitely a big fucking shift. So I just want to, you have been teaching, the Reverence Code Reset for a while now. It's an 8-week program. And in it, you know, you wake people up with some hard truths involving the Catholic Church. And it's pretty heavy. And then you lead them to the other side of really
decolonizing their mind, as your father says. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, that it's such a big journey to hold space for other people. And I'm just wondering, like, what churns your confidence? What gives you that deep confidence to be able to wake people up to this truth that you're teaching them?
There's just a lot to it. Well, first I want to say, just as like a disclaimer kind of a thing, is that I really am very conscious and want to be respectful that like I and my father respect all spiritual faiths and backgrounds of different people, you know, specifically like within spiritual context of things. And the nature of what we're speaking about in terms of this deeper education is about the doctrine of discovery. So we are speaking about the timeline of how that occurred. And it does, there is aspects of that, that it is about the church. And, but it's really looking deeper. I look at it deeper at what we call the domination code. And so that's something that a lot of people don't know about. And it's helping them to have a timeline of where these things got started, with something called the papal bulls that were issued in the 14th and 15th century by the popes in the Vatican. So that's, you know, a part of our work in terms of really helping people to understand this deeper history that hasn't been known. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a lot in terms of helping people to understand this deeper history. I feel like, though, I think a big part of as far as my course and the Reverence Code Reset course, it's really about the transformation that I see as possible for people. Once they're able to understand the deeper history and know what's possible for themselves to feel really empowered and have a way of coming together rather than all this polarity and people feeling really at odds and having a lot of anxiety and uncertainty, this is offering a way for people to navigate these really incredible changing times that we've been seeing and come to new awareness and understanding that we really are all in this together. And, you know, it's about healing ourselves, our planet, and for future generations. So I think that's a big part of like my commitment just to be in service and help people connect with themselves on a deeper spiritual level to really see their own genius. I think that's like, it inspires me. So that helps me feel good about what I'm doing and offering for people.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a common thread is just, you know, I want to say subscribing to your purpose, but answering to your purpose. And if that purpose is being of service, that fuels your confidence. So it was never like a question of when your dad was all these years that he was researching this, and it was never a question like, okay, in your mind, like I want to teach this, but I'm a little scared, or, you know, I don't feel like I can, like, so that never, those doubts never entered your auric field.
I mean, of course we all go through our ups and downs, I think, you know, as far as I feel like, I think another part of it that I see as my own growth is the growth that I have gone through has helped me to then help others work through their growth pattern because, you know, obviously like I've walked the path too, and it's, and we are all continuing to walk the path. It's not like, oh, I reached this side and now I'm here and I have no more work to do. Like we're all in life and we all have growth. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly expanding. I think a big part of it though is allowing the allowing of like continuing to walk in, being open to learning and then being open to, you know, the growth that's, instead of constricting it, I feel like a lot of my processing lately has been about like, oh, okay, how can I expand out into this and allow it to happen, allow my growth to happen rather than like contract myself and keep myself in. I want to move outward with it. And I hope that makes sense, but I feel like, I think a tendency for people is like they feel the growth coming and then they get freaked out.
Right.
Yeah. And then they're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And it's almost like, I think I sort of put it to like an adrenaline rush. Like we might get an adrenaline rush, like especially people have fear of speaking, people have a fear of like being in front of big audiences. And I think I definitely had to work on that for a long time when I was younger, and was terrified, had like terrible stage fright to speak or to do acting or things like that, like on a stage when I was younger. But it's like the shift between complete terror and fear. It's like the exhilaration of a roller coaster ride. Like either be in terror and like horrified, or you'd be like, it's so exciting. Right. It's so exhilarating. Yeah. So I felt like I had to learn that lesson for a long time ago with just walking from this place of like really big fear and terror, and allowing, now I think I allow that adrenaline rush is more like, oh, I already know this, and I just walk into it, like I embrace it, and then I'm like, oh, that's just building the energy so that I can go into this event that I'm gonna do now, because for some reason that energizes it. Mm-hmm. Rather than like holding myself smaller. Mm. That's a pattern that I used to do.
Right. I think that's a pattern a lot of people do. And I've heard this before of, you know, there's like the anxiety and the panic, right? But then there's also the exhilaration of it. Yeah. And the excitement. So if sometimes the anxiety, I don't know if that's the right word, if it's the anxiety, but sometimes that kind of like fear that you feel is also excitement brewing up too. And like you said, like a roller coaster. Yeah. You're like, I love roller coasters, and I'm like, oh God, when I get to the front of the line, I'm like, why did I choose? It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, you know, but I love your example of like, yeah, of coming from a place where you feel constricted and allowing yourself to, I really hate this expression, feel the fear and do it anyway, but breaking that down, and you're breaking it down of feeling the fear of how can you expand into it and walk into it and use that energy to fuel you to be able to speak in front of an audience of any type or do the thing that you want to do. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. I love that. That's what I love. That's one of the things I love about you, is that you always, this is the, didn't you used to have a website called Shauna Blue Star Bliss? It's because you always find the bliss in things and being able to expand. And so when I think of bliss, I think of expansiveness, and you're always looking to, instead of constricting, just expand. So
I think that's the home place. Like, I think that became another kind of a spiritual practice for me early on. And that is something that I'm working to help people learn in my Reverence Code Reset course that people walk through. It's, you know, it's almost like I also see it in my women's program, just in all the work that I do, really. I feel like we're taking off this baggage and these layers of all that negative conditioning of the shadow and these patterns that have been indoctrinated into us. You know, I feel like no matter what country, no matter what language, no matter what background, everybody has these kind of like these core woundings that are all stemming from that domination code. Mm-hmm. And so the more that we can see that, like, oh, okay, then we really are going through this experience. We are working through the same issues, but people don't have to necessarily be pointing fingers. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's like this pattern that got planted in a seed that blossomed and spread and became kind of normalized. And so the more that we can get down to that and say like, okay, we're going to strip this off. We're going to work all these layers off of us, like exfoliating it. And then like, what are we left with? Then we're like, oh, okay, this is where it feels really good. And the more that we can start to like elevate ourselves in a practice of like, okay, these are simple practices that we could just maybe take for granted as like, oh, that's just silly or it's nonsense. But just doing these really simple practices that I really look to my indigenous heritage and my lineage, like that's been core and foundational to a lot of the work that I've been doing. But I've definitely explored like so many different spiritual traditions and practices. So over the years, it's just kind of come together as this different formulas that bring it into that bliss state that you're describing, you know, like that's, yeah, I like that. That's where I want to live. I choose to live there rather than in the misery and in the rest of what we could steep down into so easily, you know, so.
Right, right. And yet sometimes that you, the only way out is through it. So you kind of have to go through the misery to expand into the bliss.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, I just got there and, you know, like I had so many ups and downs and so many trials and tribulations and traumas and everything. So, but I feel like we grow stronger, we evolve, we learn. And like I said, we're always growing and learning. Right. So there's gifts within all of these challenges. I think that's another core lesson that I learned early on from one of the elders in my community, is like really seeing the gift in the hard times. And that's another lesson that I teach in my course, is like, how can we look at this in a different way? Mm-hmm. You know, how can we see 2020 as a good thing? Like that's really hard. That's really hard. But when we can see, oh, these were the good things. These are like some really good things that happened,
right.
Even if it was something quote bad that happened, but then the awakening or people coming together around a common cause and uniting, those are beautiful things on the other side of those challenges.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned your background, because I was like, and it's really important. And I think that's why it's even more empowering that it's just not any average American, not the average, but teaching this, that you are an Indigenous woman, woman on top of that, and being Indigenous, teaching about how the so-called explorers ended up coming land. I was thinking of the West Indies, right, with Christopher Columbus. But like how, you know, I just think that's important for, you know, that for you as an Indigenous woman, bringing this knowledge out, you and your dad bringing this knowledge out and being able to go from domination to reverence.
Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing to see all that my dad has gone through, because it's like been about 40 years with my dad doing the work.
Yeah.
And I think it really, you know, it began with him wanting to understand more about like our ancestral connections and things that got lost, you know, just because of the nature of the way that things were set up with the country and people don't really necessarily understand deeper understanding of the loss of culture and language and how many of the children were put into boarding schools. So these are things that people, like, again, when people watch my dad's film, it's called The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. And when they're watching that film, I just really have seen such transformation for people in like 1 hour. It's only 1 hour long, how people come running up. And that's how my course got started, was people just kept running up and saying, this, I've never heard of this. I've been through graduate school. I have all these degrees and I had no idea. This is unbelievable. And everybody needs to see this movie.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And they would say, what can I do now? This movie changed my life. What can I do? And I could tell that people wanted to take the work deeper, to a deeper level.
Right.
And so I kept saying, Dad, we need to give them something. There needs to be something more. So I feel like my dad has a book as well called Pagans in the Promised Land, Decoding the Doctrine of Christian Discovery. And then the film, I feel like this is sort of like a 1, 2, 3 steps where people can read the book. And many people are studying that book in universities and churches even, and all different organizations across the world and people. And then, you know, then the film has certainly made its way around the world as well. And now this course is another way for people to really go into, what does decolonization actually look like? And what does it mean? And what are the benefits that it can offer, as far as like coming to new understandings and awarenesses of, like I mentioned, like what can unite us in common understanding and of all peoples and all countries and all faiths and backgrounds. I think that's a big part of the way that I like to work in terms of the course.
Right.
So That's kind of this reverence code reset and really coming to a place of reverence and understanding. I think a big part of it is also with such a normalcy around people really wanting to, you know, focus on linear thinking, like this new time in the shift is coming into a different awareness of coming back to like the spiritual and the original spirituality of the planet. And I think that's a big part of what's been missing, like this anxiety or this angst, this uncertainty, right, is when people don't have that spiritual foundation. I think that really affects people in a really difficult way. Mm-hmm. Cause I know that maybe you can relate too, but like when I've not been in a spiritual grounding place, like I kind of pushed that away for a while. And maybe that was part of my lesson to do that. When I did that, I was in anxiety. I was in depression. I was in an unhappy place, you know, because I didn't have anything else there. No, I feel like I like threw out my lifeline or my life preserver. But as soon as I brought that back into my life, I was like, okay, I feel supported. I feel there's this different shift within myself. I'm able to get to that bliss zone that we were talking about before because I feel like I have so much support. I know that life is supporting me and I see synchronicities and I see signs and things that come that I'm like, yes, okay, I feel this. It's not just something like I'm thinking about, but I like know it within my whole being. Mm. And that's also how I support other people in my sessions or in my courses that I'm offering.
Nice. Yeah. So we've talked in my other episodes about how we're born with confidence. Like you're born with it. You're born with it. And how going through life, you know, other layers get added on top. And so now we're getting to this. That's why I wanted to get you on here. Cause now we're getting to like the source of it is the domination code, right? And all that conditioning of subjugation, of putting hierarchy on the sexes and religions and everything, and dominating one over the other. And I just feel like, you know, I can see, you know, from hearing you talk about it, you know, this whole time that we've known each other, like I understand where that the importance of decolonizing, not only deconditioning, you know, what you were raised with, but also who taught them, you know, it just goes back generations, and the generations go back to, can be traced back to, you know, the early 1400s of the papal bull that you were talking about, and just being able to decondition and decolonize and getting back to who you really are, which is filled with unconditional love and confidence and self-worth before somebody's told you that you're not. Is that a fair assessment of?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think here's another part that I also talk about in my course, but that it's, you know, it's not something that I even say originated with the papal bulls in right. the church and these different things or any religions, because there's aspects of that within all religions and all kinds of things. But the challenge is that it goes back even further. And, you know, like that was something in the research right. that I began a long time ago as like kind of going from my dad's research and then to say what started this domination code? How did it get started? And how far back does it go? And what was there ever a time that it didn't exist? Like, how did this all, how did this all come to be? Cause it just seems like it's people take it as like, oh, this is just normal. This is just how the world is. And this is how society is.
Right.
But I really appreciated being able to go back deep further into the history of things and see that original spirituality, the original way of things, when nature and women have been revered and honored and appreciated as sacred life givers. And, you know, nature is something that is to be walking with nature and the balance and harmony that has been since time immemorial with the original nations and peoples across the whole planet. knowing and having those ancient teachings and knowledge, holding the sacred instructions that were given up so many, many, many years ago, and how, you know, for thousands of years, the natural world has been held in balance and harmony. It's only just been recently within the modern culture, within the modern world, where all these different developments, there's certainly obviously like good things that have come from the new developments, but we look at like, how can we shift just even then the mindset of away from nature as commodity and, you know, like the destruction that is being created just because of that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, there's definitely, it's definitely coming back to ourselves and our essence. But I feel like this domination code seed got planted thousands of years ago, not even just, you know, 500 years ago or, you know, with the founding of certain countries, but it's like thousands and thousands of years before. So that's another aspect of something I teach in my course, that I feel like that also, I don't necessarily place blame on any one person or any one group of people. I say, how can we really see that we are in all this together? Because we have this that got planted so long ago with ancestors all across the planet. And how can we come back? The shift is allowing us to come back to that essence of like, yes, I say like toddlers are the masters. They're the master teachers because they're so invigorated with life and they're like in that bliss zone and they're just pure and present. Even in the emotions that like, you know, throwing a tantrum or whatever, yeah. Like they're just present, they're in it. but they just like light up because they saw, I don't know, like a flower or something like really simple, a bee, you know, there's something really precious and awesome about it. If we stop and look at how present they are to the moment and the joy that's there within them. So, I love it. I don't know what else to say about that, but they're definitely the bliss master.
Learn from the toddler. So I just want to back it up a little. You know, it back to when you were on your journey to become the spiritual teacher that you are now. And, you know, we had talked about this before about, you know, how you were receiving messages. And I always find it so interesting. And this is for people that are channeling out there and are just like, what the hell am I going crazy? Like I'm hearing these voices, I'm writing stuff down, I'm recording things. This is specifically for you because it's just amazing to me that there are so many examples like Abraham Hicks and Seth Speaks and people that have, I mean, there have always been oracles throughout time, you know, it's historical. Of people getting messages and bringing it to the masses or just to their community. And there's so many examples of it and so many modern examples of people that channel messages. And so when you were getting that way back in, I don't know when it was like 20 years ago or something, what was that transformation? I mean, you kind of talked about it, but just like, you know, just building up the confidence to be able to bring, to share those messages.
Well, first I guess like I want to say as well, like I really want to, that's something I feel really strongly about in the work that I do, whether it's like sessions with one-on-one with people or in the classes or courses or even just speaking events that I do, like, I feel like a core message that I want to normalize for people is like, this is part of our spiritual essence. Like we are all intuitive beings. Every single one of you has like that genius spark within you. And, you know, this kind of like tapping on the shoulder that we get, like a calling that is coming for a reason. And I feel like the shift that we're experiencing right now is asking for each and every one of you to really honor and accept whatever those gifts are, because it's bringing the healing that's needed and necessary for these times. And to really put into question, you know, is it's not that there's something wrong with you, that it's like these conditioning, this conditioning that has been put upon people to say that there's something wrong with that. And there isn't. Like, this is just kind of like, yes, you are a human being and hopefully you speak and you talk and you know,
right.
you hear, like, these are all the different senses, the senses allow us to experience the world. And so I guess, I don't know. It's interesting. I think I always had these different kind of gifts as a child. I wasn't always comfortable with things that were happening and I was really scared a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I had extremely vivid dreams. And so I think, like, over time, but I had experiences with ceremony as an Indigenous woman, and that kind of helped me. But then, yeah, it was like, actually 2011 is when I first got a really big message. But it's funny because it's not like I was like trying to get a message. It's not like, it's not like I was like in deep meditation or anything. Yes, I had been meditating and doing different practices spiritually, but it wasn't like I was trying to invoke that or something. It came maybe when I was like just vacuuming or like cleaning my house.
Right.
Which I always laugh at, like, you know, just the irony of things, of how, like, on a spiritual level, like, it doesn't have to be like what people might assume it to be. And I don't take it very seriously in that way. Like, I just kind of take myself out of the equation and I think that's part of it too. It's just being open, like,
right
to the possibilities. Because, like, if we're always holding ourselves rigid or really seriously, and like we have to be like really in this like deep spiritual practice in order for something to happen, then things don't happen. I feel like that's actually going to like cut off the flow. But like just being open and relaxed, that was a shift. I don't know how that happened for me. But just being like almost like an open vessel in a way, right? Like I was clear. I'd done a lot of clearing, I think, personal healing journey that I'd been on after a lot of trauma that allowed me to open up. And so maybe in some ways that allowed me to be, I don't know, to come through. But I certainly, like, they have all these different intuitive ways of people. You can have clairaudience where you hear internally, or clairvoyance is usually how people think, like, you see things or you have understandings. I think that's certainly true within our dreams too, because as a young person, I would get it in my dreams, but then as I developed over time, it was more than just dreams. Like I see in different ways.
And then, but then bringing that out to the public. You know, the confidence of bringing that forward, not only just the confidence of receiving and like being, knowing that, okay, this is something that I need to write down. This is something I need to pay attention to, but also like bringing that forth to the public, to your community.
Yeah. I think it certainly, that was also a journey and a process over years. And I think, you know, it was also kind of maybe, almost like incremental steps. Like the first person I could share this big first message that I got with was with my dad. Because I felt like, oh, okay, he's somebody that I know would understand on a spiritual level. And then I would share with like different teachers or, you know, and friends, and then, or then like little community circles that I knew were like, okay, they have an understanding of spiritual things. They're in a conscious mindset. Heartfelt mindset. And then eventually, I don't know, I guess in a way, I feel like I just took a big leap. I was like, yeah, these messages aren't just for me. They can't just possibly be for me. At first, I questioned that. But then I realized when I did share it with certain people, it helped them. And so the first time I really shared my messages in a big way was in 2017 with going to the Oregon Eclipse Festival. And I was like really excited to be there. But I also felt a really profound change just by sharing the messages, because I noticed that when I shared it, then other people felt like they had an opening for themselves. And that was really inspiring, because then I had people saying like, oh my gosh, thank you for sharing those messages. And I get messages too, but I don't tell anybody. Or, you know, my father passed away and I've been feeling like he's giving me messages or talking to me, or he's around. And so just to be able to say, I also did a workshop at that festival. And I asked the question that I think has just been really profound to consider as well is, you know, how many of you have had these kinds of profound experiences that you can't really explain, or, mm-hmm. you know, loved ones that have passed on that you feel like have visited you in dreams or in life? I don't know. Just things that, you know, people are like, yeah, there was like some kind of a supernatural or different kind of a experience. This was like a magical or synchronicities that are happening. But then everybody in the whole workshop was like 40 people raised their hand. But then I said, how many of you tell anybody?
Wow.
And then nobody would raise, only like one person, like kind of sort of raise, like a sort of raising their hand. And then I was like, well, isn't that interesting? If we're all right. as a collective having these experiences, but right. we're just kind of keeping it to ourselves, or maybe we're doubting the self-doubt that's been planted in as well. Oh, this isn't real. Or maybe that's just my imagination, or, oh, maybe, I don't know, there's something weird with me. You know, like, why does it have to be a bad thing? And the beauty of like being able to connect on this level, all of the possibilities and the gifts that people can offer. I think this is another really big part of our evolution right now. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It totally is. And that's such a great example there of, you know, asking everyone like, well, how many of you have had contacts or get messages, and everyone raises their hand, and then how many of you share it, and nobody does, you know, except for one person who kind of did, kind of mm-hmm. sort of. So that's exactly what I'm talking about, because it's like, especially if you are in this realm of, you know, spirituality and reading different books. I mean, like, you know, the person that comes to mind, Neil Donald Walsh, right? Conversations with yeah. God, you know, like that, you know, I would think that would be encouraging, like, okay, I'm not the only one and I can share this with other people, but because it's such a new experience, maybe nobody around you has it, even though it's out in the world, there's still like some sort of self-doubt that creeps in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is the other part that I see as a common theme as well of people that come to me for sessions, or maybe even myself, I think and at times even still, it's like, you know, am I the only person that can relate to this? Like, are other people and it's always like about judgment, because it's the domination code that's out there in society, mm-hmm. which is all about judgment and, you know, better than, less than, and, you know, all these things, hierarchy. And so I think like, that's another part, is to know that like, we're not alone. Like, this is a common experience, and yet people are either, if they're not having those experiences, it's because they don't think it's possible,
right?
And, or they're afraid, or there's a lot of different reasons. But when people enter the spiritual path and maybe they're ready, maybe some people aren't ready, and that's okay too. But when they are ready and people are on the spiritual path, it can feel isolating. It can feel lonely. It can feel like, oh, am I the only one? People might think they feel crazy or something, but doesn't have to be about that. It's like, okay, how can we shift into seeing this as something good? That this is something just coming away from that other way of operating. And so it's almost like opposites in a way. Like, if you go from the domination code to the reverence code, you know, like really honoring intuition, really honoring those synchronicities, really honoring that, like, this is a good thing. This is me in touch with the real essence of who I truly am. And that being a human is also being spiritual. It's not just a physical, linear, tangible thing.
Right.
That if we're cut off, it's almost like having our own internal GPS system. If we're cut off from that, that really doesn't serve us to walk through life. And the more that we're connected with our spiritual self and sense of things, intuition, the better we are able to navigate, especially these changing times and the dark times.
Right.
It helps us to have that antenna to kind of feel our way in the darkness.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm teaching in the reverence code, certainly. But I Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. That's a very good thing too. I mean, how could you not, you know, especially after all the heaviness in the beginning. But I'm so, so glad that we could finally do this, because this is the conversation I've been wanting to have, you know, talking about the domination code and then going beyond that. And when things kind of got topsy-turvy in human history of dominance and creating hierarchies and comparison. Because, you know, I've always said to you, you know, like there's always, you know, well, that's just human nature to be, to compare oneself and to have, and you're like, no, it isn't, Charmilla. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So I'm glad that, you know, that you could be here to talk about it and explain it. Mm-hmm. And any parting words of wisdom to our healer friends or anyone listening about confidence and building confidence?
I think just like being in service to your gifts, like, you know, just honoring the innate genius within each and every one of you that is so unique. And like, it doesn't have to be like anybody else's, because it's yours for a reason. Like there's something really innately special within each and every one of you. And because you're different, that's a celebration. Mm-hmm. Like people might feel like, oh, I'm the black sheep of the family, or, you know, nobody relates to me and they think I'm the weird one. Celebrate being that, because that just may be like the innovation that's needed for the evolution right now of these times, because like it's those visionaries, it's those genius sparks of new thinking and new understandings that people really genuinely like need right now. And it's going to bring about really big change and healing in a good way, in a positive way. So I feel really optimistic. I know it's been hard to see that, but I think that's part of my bigger message this year for 2021 is how can we look to this brighter future that's ahead for all of us, but co-creating it. We're all co-creating it together by honoring like who you truly are and the unique genius within each of you.
Well, well said, well said. Thank you so much. And you have another round coming up in February for the Changemakers, for the Reverence Code Reset, right?
Yes, the Changemakers course, people called it that. The Changemakers course Reverence Code Reset is going to begin again February 7th. And my Sacred Feminine Rising for women's course is beginning in April.
In April, okay. Great. So if you are listening before February 7th and April, there are two ways to join her amazing programs of awakening and learning some deep, hard truths about the world. And we're so glad that you're doing that. And so the best way to get a hold of you is to go to your website, shaunabluestar.com. I will have all this in the show notes. And on her website, if you are curious about some of the messages that she was talking about, you can get them when you sign up for her newsletter. And that is again on shaunabluestar.com. And I will have all of this in the show notes. Of course, all the things that she mentioned, the film, her dad's documentary film and the book that he wrote. And of course, the Reverence Code Reset and her upcoming women's program. So thank you so much. I am just so honored and grateful that we could make the time to do this and do this on the first day of 2021. So thank you so much for being here, Shauna. Let's give you a big hug goodbye. Mm.
Thank you. Big hugs. Good to be here with you.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening in this new year, and please continue to listen. We've got some great stuff coming up for the rest of the year, and we'll see you next time on The Confident Healer. Bye. Want to know more about how to contact my guest? Then go to theconfidenthealer.net. This is also the best place to listen to the podcast. And while you're there, click subscribe to rate the show. Let's get those algorithms working to get this podcast to the masses. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.